a world where options are limitless, but time is not. Two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
I don't really know how this happened, and it has also happened to Anna Grace, my oldest, but I always liked reading mysteries and thrillers and stuff since I was a wee lass.
I think denying people like the answer, like, I mean, it's the same reason why the fact that for so long you didn't know like a lot about Han Solo's past or like Wolverine's like past was shrouded. People like it when you don't know something. The first several seasons of Lost, like, mm-hmm. these are characters and shows that are just built upon the principle of like,
we don't know something.
You don't know what it is.
And I realized after watching, I don't know how many different episodes of Sherlock this or that in all of its forms, and Poirot and Murder, She Wrote, and all this stuff.
The X-Files.
There's a point where I'm saying, oh, in order for her to write about murder, someone has to be horribly killed. Columbo, good for a laugh. Rockford Files, someone's always getting killed. Yet
Murder, She Wrote. We
have no attachment to them because, you know, they are the lucky one who may have had a line before they get killed in the first 5 minutes of the show. But I was always fascinated as to how it happened, and I could detach myself from it. I'm guessing that's how I started reading, as I was much older, thrillers that involved serial killers. And the first one, I believe, was called Prey by John Sanford, P-R-E-Y. You would love that because...
That Sanford of Sanford and Son?
Yes. Because this is a police detective who doesn't have to work because I can't
get Sanford and Son solving mysteries out of my head now.
The police detective creates video games that are incredibly successful. So you'd have a lot in common.
So it's kind of like Castle, but like with, instead of writing novels that are successful.
Mm-hmm. This guy actually was a cop, but he also did, he had a lot. Anyway, so Prey, by the way, probably, maybe it's 20 years old. There's a whole series of, they're called Prey, P-R-E-Y books, but the first one is exceptional. And there's a part of me that is horrified at serial killers because, you know, I'm a normal human. And then there's that part of me that just doesn't understand. How do you get to be like that? And how did they figure out that, you know, how?
Where did you, like, okay, when I'm in the grocery store and someone pushes their buggy out in front of me, my first reaction isn't, oh, I'm going to gut them like a fish, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to bury them underneath my house. Like,
no.
But there's somebody out there that, like, when they've done something to them, like, at some point something clicked in their head that, like, it's okay if I kill them. It's okay if I, you know, cut them open and do, like,
yeah,
but how do you societally, like, how does a person get to that? Because I can understand why someone would eat a ham sandwich. Mm-hmm. They got hungry. Ham is delicious.
Yeah.
Put it between bread. I don't understand why people want to serially murder people.
And then potentially eat them.
Yeah. Like, I can't wrap my head around
that. So I'm guessing that's part of it. And I'm actually going to talk about a show, by the way, but in the past year or so,
Jane's coming out as a serial killer.
Yes, in the past year or so, my oldest child, she's 13, and all of a sudden, I mean, I didn't show her all this stuff, but who knows what I've said. She said, people think it's weird that I know lime will melt a body, and it's like, serial killers are fascinating. And they are. Because they're so unlike the norm. What they do is foul and disgusting, and I say that honestly because I am not a serial killer. So here's where I'm at.
Well, I mean, if you'll look at the last 20 years of like TV shows that like you and I have mentioned before, you know, The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, having these shows that delve into like the psyche of these people that are doing horrific things, but like they're fascinating despite what they're just yes. because what you're doing is deplorable doesn't make it interesting to see why you got there. I'm not saying I want to do these yes. things. Yes. I don't want to sell meth. Like, I don't want to become a gangster and kill people when they won't pay me my money. But the fact
how did
that,
you get there?
How, yeah. How did, mentally, how did you arrive at that? Why didn't you say get a paper route or decide you wanted to be a scientist instead? Mm-hmm. Why did you decide that?
So, Netflix has dropped a new show, and I don't know, Netflix knows me. It's the first thing that, hey, Jane, watch this, Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. And so I started watching it for two reasons. One, there are tapes, and two, I had just read about Zac Efron in what apparently is going to be Oscar bait. They don't have a release date yet, and it's a theatrical release, but Zac Efron is playing Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
And the name of that movie
For those unaware, that yes, that kid from High School yeah. Musical and Baywatch.
Yeah.
Potentially, possibly being in a film that may garner some awards yes. attention.
Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile is the title, and it's about to premiere at Sundance.
That's such a good name.
Yeah,
too.
That is a good name for a book. And for a movie. So I started watching the Ted Bundy tapes, and maybe this is why serial killer stuff sits in the back of my head. When they're talking about Ted Bundy, and in the event you don't know, Ted Bundy is the one who seemed like the normal guy, who was the attractive normal guy who didn't, you know, sometimes they arrest someone and then you see them, and you go, oh, yeah.
Like form that picture of what a crazy like serial killer, you've got that image in your head. Mm-hmm. Like Bundy didn't look like that.
And so,
which I think that may have even been with like kind of helped with the intrigue on it. Like
yes.
the fact that he didn't look like, again, when you've got that picture in your head and then when you meet them and they match up with that, you're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
he's. You see John
like.
Wayne Gacy in the clown outfit? Yeah, right there. It's like, oh, I am not surprised he killed and ate and buried all those boys.
When
he looks insane.
In fictional universes, when you finally meet them, like when they reveal Voldemort in Harry Potter, when you saw that guy, you were just like, yeah. That's what evil looks like in the wizarding world. Like,
yeah, but maybe that's what it is. To figure out what evil looks like, maybe the basis of it. And as this thing starts, it says, and I grew up, I became aware of media in the 70s, and it was serial killer after serial killer after serial killer. And I had never thought of it in that sense, that that's really, and I didn't watch the news on purpose because I found it upsetting, but that's what I would hear. I couldn't help but hear it.
Well, and keep in mind, also, there was a point in time, kids. I know that we do a show about, like, streaming services. But once, you couldn't just throw up anything you wanted onto the screen. There was three channels. They showed you what they wanted to at certain times.
That's right.
If you didn't catch it, like, VCRs were not, either weren't invented or they were so prohibitively expensive, you didn't have one.
And at 6 o'clock, all the channels played the news, except maybe one, and it was, you know, Sesame Street. The news is on at 6, and that's it.
2, 4, and 5, and this is even before you had Fox 17, mm-hmm. like, on it. I'm just saying, and all of them had their news. You know.
So I hear about John Wayne Gacy, and I hear about Son of Sam, and the Zodiac Killer, and it's like all this stuff. So maybe I just ingested that and always wanted to know why. What I didn't know is that on death row, Ted Bundy decided he wanted to tell his story. And so a reporter who was similar in age to him went in and got 100 hours of audio tape. And that's what they're basing this on. Man, it is bizarre.
I can't imagine that it could be any. I've also, like, I've not got to watch this yet. But I think one of the reviews or blurbs that are, it was essentially don't watch it alone. Like, it was just like when you start getting in the inside the head mm-hmm. of somebody like that, and I can only imagine the nightmares the guy that was interviewing him probably had
oh, yeah.
after the fact. Like, you know, they say like the friends you choose will inevitably like rub off on you.
Mm-hmm.
When you spend how many hours did you say?
100.
When you spend 100 hours with like someone that's on death row for killing how many people?
36 women?
Yeah, I'm just saying like that's going to put you in a different headspace than say like if you binged the entirety of Happy Days.
Exactly. So first of all, it puts the crimes in historically with all of the other serial killer stuff and what the country was like in the 70s. And there was a lot of civil unrest and there was just there was a lot going on. People were angry. There was Watergate. There was stuff going on. And then this is happening on the West Coast. And the term serial killer either had been coined, but most people didn't know about it, or simply no one had come up with it. Because what was happening with this case and all these women who had been killed, one police jurisdiction didn't talk to the other one about their two missing women and so on and so on. So it took a long time for people to put things together.
Or so it seemed that there was a pattern of...
So here's the freaky... I've seen two episodes. It is truly fascinating. But this is what I found really fascinating. So you're hearing Ted Bundy talk about himself. You know, I had a normal, idyllic childhood, and I was the great frog catcher. I was very proud of my ability to catch frogs and blah, 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 blah. And so he is describing what sounds like a Norman Rockwell childhood. And then they interview this woman who her brother was the same age as him, and all these kids did indeed play together in these, you know, four block range, as you would, because they didn't have internet. And she said, even then, he just wasn't right. And his idea of fun was building tiger traps, meaning he would dig a hole and put pointed sticks in it and cover it up so kids would fall in it, which they did. And get hurt, though he didn't kill any kids. And she said there was something like just off about him, which probably at that age she didn't realize, but realized later. However, as you hear him saying, well, I did this, this, and this, she says, no, he wanted to do this, this, and this, but he did go to camp with my brother, and he was the guy that lost all the games, and he was the guy that couldn't, you know, shoot the stuff.
Whenever you start looking at, like, I guess the saying of, you know, hindsight is 20/20. It's like, okay, I'm diabetic. I didn't realize it until like I just collapsed one day. But if I would have started to look at some of those symptoms and put it together and just be like, wait.
Mm-hmm.
This could be related to this, and this could be related to this, but immediately, like, just because, like, one day you're like, man, I'm really thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Most people's first reaction is not going to be, I have diabetes.
Right.
And in the same way, like, hopefully, like, as a kid, you know, just because, like, another kid's off doesn't mean, you know what? He's going to be a serial killer. Like,
now, unfortunately, that is how I look at children.
Well,
I mean,
I'm talking about the other like 98% of humans out there.
Since kindergarten, when I've been interacting with my girls' co-classmates, I would just drive home going, well, that one's going to be in juvie. Huh, this one. I'm going to keep an eye on you. I didn't tell them.
What's the Christopher Walken movie where like he can touch people and tell their future? Like,
oh,
Stephen
yeah.
King, it's not the Dead Zone or so.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
But like when he touched him, he'd be like, you're going to do this. That's all yes. I'm saying.
That's how I, and so far I've been right. But anyway, there's still time, but I haven't pegged any of them for serial. Well, one of them, that one kid.
He's close.
With the ears.
He's close.
Anyway, so it is really fascinating to see how he did not see himself as other people did. And from what I'm getting is he wanted to be affluent, and he was, she called him in the have-nots, even though the whole family, I think there were five kids, they Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, she said the parents were very involved. No, we don't know what happened in the house, but it looked like from the outside, everything's cool. Typical family in the 50s.
I mean, as you said, Rockwell-esque kind of, yeah.
And so he goes to college and he wants to be a lawyer and he wants to be affluent and he has a girlfriend who happens to be affluent. And then they just, I don't know, drift apart or she dumps him. And that's...
She probably starts getting a vibe that he's weird.
Yes, probably. And that's when the killings start. And then, as you put it all together, and you look at her, all of the women generically look alike. They're all generically the same age. And it's kind of a, oh, huh, I'm getting this now. It's because she rejected him, right, because she realized there's something wrong with him. And so he's going to do this. But he wasn't ready to talk about anything with this journalist until the journalist had the bright idea, you studied psychology. Why don't you tell me what kind of person it would be who could commit these crimes? And that's when Ted Bundy starts talking and spilling, because now he's the expert. And it's obvious when you see footage of him, because he was involved in a lot of stuff. He was involved in politics briefly. Everything's briefly, you know. He thought he was going to be a brilliant lawyer. Well, his scores weren't good enough to get into a decent law school because he just didn't have it. But he thought differently.
Narcissism is a strange and multi-headed beast. We have entire social platforms built on essentially the concept of narcissism. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a Facebook profile, like essentially it's about putting pictures up of you, putting pictures up of your family, putting up accolades that you have done. Your posts, what you think, your opinions are so important. You need to release them to the world, your friends, mm-hmm. so that they may like them or not like them or comment on mm-hmm. that. I'm just saying, like, When you get to anybody, almost everybody's favorite subject or one of their favorite subjects are themselves.
Yes.
And if you will tap into that, like, they will spill the beans. Like, mm-hmm. and it sounds like that's what this guy did.
Yes.
Basically, he gave Ted Bundy his own Facebook before mm-hmm. Facebook was a thing. And he's just like, I want you to post the pictures. I want you to tell, right. give me your status updates, like now, throw some videos in there, do some audio recording.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Show me the links to what makes you, you.
And he didn't just talk. For instance, we're in a studio and we know we're being recorded, but if we were talking into a tape recorder, a cassette tape recorder, Google it. And I asked you a question, Adam, like, you know, what was it like in the seventh grade? Would you take the tape recorder, lovingly cradle it, and then just focus on the tape recorder as if I was not in the room?
Well, I would, but I have a taste for the dramatic.
Yeah.
But well, you're saying if I was a normal person, would No. I mean,
this is kind of off-putting. And for another brief time, he worked with some crime force. And that gave him the opportunity to see how all of the local police departments were well-intentioned, but there was a lot of chaos. Again, it's not computerized. No one's – why when I'm giving out parking tickets?
There was
why
no database.
And so he saw the holes in the system and how he could – make use of it.
If you've ever seen the film Catch Me If You Can, kind of similar to that.
Oh, yes.
Like,
now that's
Frank,
a good movie.
Frank Abagnale would see, like, the problems with the banks and mm-hmm. that they wouldn't catch this problem until 4 days later. So he could write a check, say it was from here. They wouldn't know that the problem actually existed till 4 days later, at which point he's not there anymore,
right.
but he's cashed a $1,200 check. Like, mm-hmm. just, I mean, really, it's basically these people that... They understand where the inadequacies or like where the camera isn't videotaping. Mm-hmm. You find the cracks in there and you start exploiting those.
So I've gotten to the point where he has a girlfriend and she calls the police. And actually, right before I came over here, I hear her on the phone with the police saying, yeah, I'm kind of concerned about my boyfriend because, oh, I don't know. She found a bloody knife under the seat in his car. He's got a cup full of other people's house keys, and he had a bag full of women's clothing that, you know, looked like it had been used. And just, she'd seen the news. Again, there are only a few channels. She knows they're looking for somebody who's doing something to women in this area. And she's going, I think there's something not quite right with this guy. And that starts it. So could you imagine?
But
just
I mean, honestly.
Because they were, I think they were living together.
No, I mean, again, when you want to, I think most people want to believe like in the better part of people and assume that they wouldn't do that. And even the fact that she wouldn't jump to the conclusion, just be like, yeah, it's definitely him. Like, but you say, just say something, hey, something's up. I don't know. Like, you don't want to immediately assign the blame, especially to somebody that you've decided you wanted to be in a relationship with.
That's right.
Because
and you have a kid, not with him, but she was raising a daughter on her own. And I believe if he's not living with her, he's there most of the time.
Well, I mean, if you're in a relationship with somebody like boyfriend, girl, like you have invited this person into your life mm-hmm. to a certain degree. Like if you choose to make it, you know, exclusive, if you choose to marry them, if you choose to get engaged, whatever. These are different levels of like intimacy as far as like the relationship is concerned. At this point, like, again, this person's involved enough in your life that you're dating them. Your child has met them. I think you want to believe in yourself. You'd be like, yeah, yeah. If there was a killer, I'd know. Like,
yeah,
I'm on the up and up. I wouldn't let. He's doing what?
Right. And just to imagine what it took for her to make that call. And then, I mean, I don't know if they're going to go back. I don't know if she's still alive. I don't know any of that yet. All I really knew going into it was Ted Bundy was the serial killer from the West Coast that killed a lot of women that all pretty much looked alike, and he was the normal looking guy. That's really all I knew about Ted Bundy, that he was disarmingly normal and attractive compared to all the other serial killers.
Well, again, it's all relative to your environment.
Yeah, he's not, you know, normal and attractive as compared to George Clooney, but compared to the other serial killers, he's a catch.
Yeah.
And so
if you take nothing else away from this podcast, I want you to remember that line.
Yes.
Ted Bundy is a catch. Make sure you cut off that last part about
yes.
from the other serial killers. I want you to take that part out of context. Like if this podcast series ever ends up in book form or something, I need that on the book jacket. Jane Ellen, Ted Bundy's a catch. And like I said, make sure to take it out of context, because when you put that reasoned bit into it, it's a lot less fun.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't. So this has sucked me right in to the point where I really can't think of anything else. You know, Jim's like, hey, do you want to watch this? No. I said, you're taking me away from my serial killer. And it's like, no. And like, and Anna Grace and I were watching and she goes, just leave me to watch it. And I said, oh, no, no, you're not watching this by yourself. You're not.
I get like that with like certain shows or like very specific. And again, with the advent of like dropping everything at once, like is the Netflix method? Who was the first to give you an entire show like dropped in a single?
Well, me, when I would record all. Okay, the first one, Star Trek, the original series. I recorded all of them, and I would just watch them whenever I wanted. I gave it to me, and I remember thinking, I wish I could just watch whatever TV I wanted whenever I wanted.
But, like, when those originally aired, it was week
by
week.
I didn't see them, yeah.
Well, I'm saying, though, like, the original medium that they were created in, as they were intended, most shows, that, like, you know, Star Trek, any sitcom you can think of, mm-hmm. most of that stuff, especially up through, like, let's say the mid-aughts, like, I'm saying, at what point did it become commonplace for them just be like, here's 12?
There was a time when I was addicted to the show Emergency, and on a Saturday, I could catch it four times, four different episodes. And I did, as did my sister.
Like, I think it was like the DVR essentially, like, started letting people, like, when it was like, I need you to record this wherever it appears, anywhere on television. Mm-hmm. And then I could do, you know, eight episodes or whatever. And eventually I think somebody like, you know, Netflix was just
and
like,
I think syndication as well. They wouldn't air just one episode of Seinfeld. We're going to air two.
This afternoon, watch back to back episodes of this and then Wheel of Fortune.
And then it's going to be on again tomorrow, and I can see two more, and so on, and so on, and so on.
And eventually, instead of it being reruns, they're like, wait, people would love this if it was just first run, and we gave it to them all at once. Nobody's going to sit there and watch 13 hours.
Yes, they will.
Oh, my goodness. Our data tells us differently.
We are an addictive society. I mean, honestly, if the ability to watch all these shows, to make these shows. If any of this existed in pioneer times, we would still all be on the East Coast because, like,
Now, the British definitely would have won.
Oh, yes. I don't have time
for this. They would have just been like, we will take away your Wi-Fi. And they'll be like, no, no, we'll stay. Tax us. Tax us. We want to be colonies.
But don't take away the Netflix.
Just leave your Wi-Fi.
Which is why I guess I'm so fascinated when I hear about these hidden tribes and third world countries. And it's like, well, what do they do all day?
I mean, obviously they're not watching Netflix.
No, they're trying to survive, Jane. They're seeking food and shelter.
What's going on? Well, my brother was murdered by a tiger the other day, and I have to find food. Like, oh. Yeah, but after you do that,
what do you do?
Well, I'm so tired that I sleep, and I only do it for an hour and a half because I'm worried that another creature from the Australian outback is going to kill me. Oh, huh.
But I've got to watch all of season 4 of whatever, and then I've got to order my groceries and have someone I don't know put them in the car for me and then complain that that person doesn't follow me home and unload the car.
Like, the fact that CBS All Access makes me wait each Thursday to watch Star Trek Discovery. Like,
that's annoying.
And the thing about it is, it's not unreasonable at all. Like, I'm just saying, like the umpteen seasons of the Andy Griffith Show, those things, like, over the course, what is it, 9 seasons, something like that, 9 years, and this is back when, like, seasons had 33 episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, for decades, that's the way the television is. And, like, it's not like Discovery is poorly produced. It's not that it's not an interesting show, but the fact that they're making me wait 6 days till I can get a new episode when I could just watch all of them,
it's un-American.
It's definitely American. It is embarrassingly American that CBS All Access has the audacity to make me wait for another episode of Star Trek for a week. Because I'll tell you, if they know anything about Star Trek fans, we're stubborn and we're dedicated.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they're like, do you have them done? They're like, yeah, we could totally give them to them right there.
We could have given it to them at Thanksgiving.
But
not gonna do it.
I'm going to be honest. We like watching them squirm. Watch. Oh, nerd. It's good. Oh, do it, nerd.
Beg us for it, nerd.
And I can say nerd because I'm one of them.
Yes. You are listening to Binge or Cringe from the Hints, high atop the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center. I'm going to start saying high atop.
Maybe get an echo in there.
Yes, high atop. So this serial killer thing on Netflix, definitely binge. And I got sucked into something last week because I did not have the ability to turn it off. And it is called Britannia. And you need to Google Britannia. It's on Amazon Prime because as I'm watching it, I am recognizing half of these people, but I don't know where I'm recognizing them from. I first thought that one of the guys played the, maybe he did. Do you know the name of the actor who played season 2 of Walking Dead? He was the sheriff, he was like the mayor of the town and like the blonde chick. He liked the blonde chick and he was like, we do it our way in this town. And the town seemed all nice and shiny with zombies.
Season 2, I believe they were on the farm.
Okay. I don't know what season it was.
When you tell me a specific, how my mind works.
Okay. Do you know the character I'm talking about?
I had stopped watching Walking Dead by that point.
Okay, I stopped watching after this guy.
When they went to the prison, like, I was just like, you're just drawing this thing out for 8 episodes. I can't do this.
Anyway, I think he might have been that guy, but I digress. So sometimes I'll go to another streaming service and go, I'm just going to randomly find something. So because I like the color of this redhead's dress, I pick on this thing called Britannia.
You and I watch television shows and movies for entirely different reasons.
But I also think maybe this has some King Arthur business going on, and I've found something delightful. So,
how often do you tell yourself, maybe I found some King Arthur business? What's up?
It's regular. I do this on a regular basis, like Britannia, eh? We'll see.
We need to
that.
Have an alternate podcast where we just discuss your inner monologue. That's all it is. Just for some reason, we figured out a way that we can record it. We play clips of it, and I interview about, like, well, I don't have to ask what was going through your head at that moment, but let me ask you that. What does that mean? Like, it's, I understand that it's English and that you form those words together to create, like, let's say paragraphs, but I'm at a loss. Let me in. Explain to me.
Yeah. So it was the hair on the, this is a redhead woman in a teal dress. And you know how redheads look good with teal? And her, it's like, Britannia. Like, all right. So I give it like 10 minutes and I turn it off. It's like, that was stupid. And then I turn it on again. I don't know why. The vacuum didn't work and I had to take it all apart because it's brand new. And why should something that I just bought work correctly? By the way, a vacuum won't work if you have it on hose, not floor. Just a little tip there.
It's a solid. So, see, I, unless I have researched a show, like, unless I'm just like, I know within a reasonable, like, doubt that I'm not going to enjoy this show, I will just watch something that I've watched. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've watched the entirety of Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Deep Space Nine. Like, I have episodes. I'm just like, you know what? I know it's good. I know I'm not wasting my time. I'm going to watch this for the 400th time.
It's like when the girls say, Mom, how many more times are you going to watch Ragnarok?
Yeah.
And I said, endless.
I shut your mouth. Why are you talking to me?
Yes.
And whenever I want to stop.
Like.
Which is never.
And could you just please go to school so I can put my stories on? So.
And she ain't talking about, like, no. Young and the Restless. No. Her stories are about Asgardian, like,
yes, very
gods
much so.
On planets that Jeff Goldblum is the...
Mm. Just, you're taking me out. Sometimes I like to randomly just, and see what happens. The girls will tell you about how I'll say things like, let's have an adventure. Let's go to a restaurant we know nothing about. And sometimes it pays off. Most of the time it's horrible, but sometimes.
The fact that you called Thor Ragnarok my stories. Like, again, in the same way that, like, I can tell you entire plot lines from Young and the Restless or Brave and the Bold or, like, General Hospital because I would stay with my grandmother when I was younger. But, like, whenever you eventually have grandkids, they're not going to get that experience. It's going to be like, well, what did Grandma Jane, like, show you today? She made us watch Thor Ragnarok again.
And hey, then Die Hard.
Mom said she has been watching that for 30 years. It's not even like a show. It's the same 2 hours over and over and over.
Did they only make one movie in your day, Grandma? It's like,
No, there was a Thor trilogy, but this is the only one that's worth watching again. They're like, there's two more of these things? What in the world, Grandma Jane?
So, I just landed upon Britannia, not Britannica, for a few episodes in my head. I called it Britannica and had to double check. It's Britannia. So, we've got some druid action here. And the druids fascinate me because we don't know anything about them except where they were. And they had a thing about rocks. That's about all we know about druids. So, the great thing in the storytelling world is they can be anything. So you've got this druid guy who looks like a walking skeleton. He's actually the second man, Adam, as the first man would have known. And he's got some great prosthetics that make him kind of look like a sugar skull / burn victim.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. And
sugar skull.
And he's got some weird fingernail stuff going on. Just weird. I can't even... Anyway, so you've got the druids, where apparently to be a druid, you have to be filthy and, well, just filthy. So about this show on Amazon Prime.
For a moment, druids became droids in my head. Like, I'm back.
On this show, they do have the filth ratio down. And I want to say it says something like 800 BC or I don't remember what they said. But it's. Druids are still a big thing. And it's about how...
They were all the rage.
Yes. It's about how Julius Caesar had gone to the Isles to do some conquering, met the Druids, and said, hard pass, went back to Rome, got knifed. So Rome is once again, and Rome did eventually end up in Britannia. And so this is Rome going out and doing their Roman thing, saying, hey, we just want to tax you guys, and you'll be citizens of Rome.
That cool?
Yeah. So there's that.
Gonna conquer you.
Not really. Send us some money, though. So here's what's going on. There is a girl coming of age. I don't know what that means, 13 to 16, blah, blah, blah.
Well, depending on which time period you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's probably 13. Anyway, the girl, this actress, is epic. And apparently won the youngest award, the Olivier Award, for being in Matilda, the musical, or something. She's great, this kid. And most of the time, she is spending with this other guy who... I want you to picture.
And none of that stuff you said was made up. There is an Olivier for Matilda the musical.
Well,
okay.
for it's a theatrical award. I think it's called the Olivier, but.
All right. Just the way you were rolling that off. I know what it sounds like when you make things up.
I know,
and for a moment I was like, wait. She won let's call it an Olivier for the Matilda the musical. Like,
is
she asking me or telling me this information?
No one will question it.
Sometimes I'm her fact checker, but she doesn't let me know that fact needs to be checked. She presents it as if it is fact and doesn't tell me, yeah, that's a thing. And I'll be like, wait, that was invented in 1907. It couldn't possibly. And she's like, whatever. Yeah. I was close.
So I want you to picture Chris Pine, 50 pounds heavier, maybe 30 years older, roll him in some dirt, have him be all bearded like he was in the beginning of...
So in fact, not Chris Pine at all. Like...
No.
You've depined, like, all the things that make Chris Pine piney, like...
Yes, but I think if this guy cleaned up, he'd be pretty decent looking. So, this guy is called The Outcast. And to give you an idea of the show Britannia, the theme song is Hurdy Gurdy Man. If you don't know the song Hurdy Gurdy Man, Google it. It was an actual hit song in the 60s, and it's very trippy. So that's the song done by Donovan, I believe. So you've got this guy, he's the outcast, and he does scurry along sometimes like the Beast from the film Glass. Nothing to do with him, though. And we find out he's an outcast by the Druids because a demon possessed him, and they kind of have an issue with that. So it's all about the Romans showing up. This girl is special, but she doesn't know it, and no one else really knows it till five episodes in. And then you've got the crazy guy and her interaction with him. I'm not going to say it's laugh out loud hilarious. It's not a Frasier witty exchange hilarious, but it's very satisfying and entertaining.
The fact that previously, like, you had set this in like BC and just been like, let's roll. Instead, like, now that you've brought in Frasier and you're like, let's take Kelsey Grammer, roll him in some mud.
Yes.
Like, throw 20 more pounds on him. Get him beardy.
Yeah.
And then bring his brother Niles in just for fun. Like,
Niles could be the Druid.
NBC, there's your Frasier reboot right there. For some reason, Niles and Frasier have been trapped in the past, and they've got to make the best of it.
So you've got this whole story about the Druids and how the Druids run the show. And if you know anything about Britannia and all this early business, everyone wore not complete circle necklaces, but like they were collars with knobs on the end, because that's what the Irish did. You know, I'm not going to actually close out the necklace and make it a circle. I want to take it off and use it as a weapon when my uncle gets drunk, I assume.
That's probably, I mean.
So everyone's wearing those necklaces.
I don't want to make vague generalities, but what you're saying doesn't not make sense to me.
A lot of people are very dirty all the time, and even the queens and kings, they just have a little less filth.
Well, I mean, when you don't have like running water or indoor plumbing, like, which is, again, is something that we take for granted. Mm-hmm. Like when we had to pump our septic and like we couldn't use like water in the house and I couldn't just bathe there. I was like, and like, we're talking about like a day and a half and I am just livid. And I'm just like, you know, like everybody likes to romanticize like the old West or something.
Yeah, I don't.
Again, that's why I don't, because I'm just like, you know what? I like purified water.
Yeah, I
just,
really do.
I do. And I like hot water. You know what? I like having water and it just comes to, I turn a faucet and I don't, it's not just water. I control the temperature of the water.
That's crazy. So the story is you have warring tribes, which historically is correct.
Yes.
And that's why the Romans could come in, that anyone could, you and I could have rolled in if we had, you know, some people and a bunch of weapons. But all the tribes in what is now England and Scotland and Ireland and Wales.
Because they were not unified.
Yeah, there were issues. So they were like, this is the most powerful guy over this acreage. But now over here, we got this. It's just slightly different. But to us, they all look the same. Anyway, so that's happening. And Rome is coming in. They're trying to figure out how they're going to conquer. But there's this underlying thing going on with the Roman leader. We don't really know what that is. So this is the story of why this young girl is special and the Rome coming in to mess with the kings and queens. There's a woman that plays a queen of the other people, that the people who paint themselves blue, not the ones who wear the prettier dresses. And she's kind of mad because the woman who made me watch it, the one with the red hair and the teal dress, they were going to unify their tribes by having the redhead marry white-haired lady's only son. But instead of marrying him, she castrated him in front of his mother. So there's not a good feeling there.
I can't imagine that that's, yeah. Good call.
So there are the warring tribes and the Romans, and then you have the outcast and what the deal is with the girl. And now the Roman guy wants the girl, and apparently she is some manner of hope for all of them. We don't know what. I know it sounds really wacky, but there is something interesting in it that it's very well done. It's produced by the BBC, I guess, or Amazon made for the BBC. It's not in America. It was shot.
It's definitely
there.
Produced by the BBC. Maybe Amazon and then just produced by the BBC.
They're all British and Irish actors.
I mean,
and
I don't
such.
Know. It could be CBS All Access for Ireland. Maybe it was Hulu. I don't know. Whatever. Someone produced this.
It is an Amazon original, it says. And this is season one that came out in 2018. And it only had 9 episodes. And it's just, it's entertaining. It's not brilliant, but it is entertaining. And it's well acted. And it is believable in that they're all dirty. You know, again, I do love my Arthurian legend, but if you watch the movie Camelot, there's no mud. And we know that's
not true.
Well,
that's why Camelot is so special.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, they found a way to get all of that mud. That's why people love Camelot so much. It's the reason why, like, they assigned, like, JFK, like, all of the aspirations of Camelot. I'm just saying, like,
JFK is not in Britannia, by the way.
No, no.
But I think you'll recognize a lot of the actors as just character actors and other stuff, or maybe they just look like other character actors, because that's what I just say. Huh, that guy looks like, no, I don't know.
It's your discount.
Yeah, discount this one, discount that one.
No, this
What's
is your,
The Walking Dead?
This is your off-brand Richard Harris.
Actually, one of the girls, and I keep forgetting to look it up, I swear it's Jessica Jones, the actress. The actress who plays Jessica Jones. Her.
Yes. Ritter.
Yes.
Oh, what's her name?
See? Now I have to look it up because I think she's an ancillary character in this. If not, I want you to imagine the character Jessica Jones as a muddy, angry Irish woman who happens to be a bounty hunter.
And she's a reasonably capable actress. I could see her doing that.
Yes. I really think it's her or someone, a relative.
Someone that you get when you can't afford
get her. Yes. So it's interesting. It's certainly not, I couldn't predict what was going to happen. So it's not so much that. Now, everyone didn't get gutted like in Game of Thrones. They didn't kill off all the characters. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm so attached. But I'm curious to see what the deal is with this girl. I'd never really seen someone get flayed open. That was kind of gross. But whatever. The druids can
do
that.
It was a thing. It was a thing they did.
Yeah. And it was nice. Spoiler, the last scene, they finally cut away from where all this action is taking place with the druids. And it's Stonehenge. Oh, my God, it's Stonehenge. So, but we already figured that was going to show up somewhere because, you know, hashtag
geographically. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about it. Interesting. And it's only 9 episodes, so no big. And lots of mud. I assume that there were not a lot of boils, but a lot of mud.
Well, and, I mean, there is going to be some factual
and kind of a, there's a guy they call the Gaul. So let's call him the dirty French version of Aquaman. Similar hair.
I think that's the route that they're talking about going with the sequel.
Yeah.
Dirty French Aquaman. I mean, I thought it was weird. Like, if you're going to adapt any storyline, I probably would have went with Time and Tide, but Dirty French Aquaman. You know, it's I don't run DC, so I don't know.
Dirty French Aquaman. Yeah. I think it's going to be a hit.
I would probably would have went something for Peter David, but, you know, okay, fine. Dirty French Aquaman.
We come up with the best names.
I'm sure Gerard Depardieu is not doing anything. He can
smoke Monster John. Dirty French Aquaman. Okay. So those are my binges or cringes. This is not cringeworthy. It's well done. It just, you might not be into period pieces like this or
right.
not.
Right. And if you're into boils, apparently.
You're going to be disappointed.
It's got a very low boil score.
Yes.
From us.
But.
The ever popular boil score.
There has to be, much like Once Upon a Time, there's a lot of pulling people's beating hearts out of them and holding them and looking at them. And in one case, going, ha, 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 ha. So there's that. You may enjoy it for half a second or not. And they had legit accents, you know, so it seemed real to me.
Which many would call that, like, that is theater's purpose. Like,
it seemed real.
It seemed.
I believed
real.
It. I think the druids were kind of weird.
I reckoned I was there.
Yeah, they were all. Actually, the druids reminded me of Thunderdome.
Okay, now maybe I'm in. Okay, that's what I needed right there.
Yes, their outfits.
Tie it into Mad Max.
You know, and the telling of the tell and all that, because you just have like a bunch of kids who will like stop and stare, and then all the druids are really, 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 really dirty and painted, except for Skull Guy. And so I thought, this is very Mad Maxian here. What's happening? There you go.
And I love some Mad Max.
Okay.
Who don't? Who don't?
Take a show that combines Mad Max and Frasier, a redheaded woman, and a lot of people who look like people you think you know, and you've got Britannia.
I want to be in the pitch meeting for that. Do you love Mad Max and Frasier? Well, I do, but I don't understand how they're related. Okay, you've got my attention. Go.
Can we get the rights to Hurdy-Gurdy Man?
Sure. Why would... You know what? Whatever. Just keep... Tie it all together for me. Tie it all together. Yeah, you got 4 minutes. Go.
And druids. Done. Stonehenge, we still have
Drop
the set.
Drop mic. Walk out.
We still have the set from Family Vacation. Look, kids. Big Ben. Stonehenge. We're in. So, that's Britannia.
Britannia.
So, in a way, the chief druid is a serial killer because he carves up a lot of stuff. People, I mean.
Not like statues.
No, a lot of people. But apparently, the gods told him he had to, so he had to. Who am I to argue with this crazy druid?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't. He'll probably cut you, sounds like it.
Yeah.
No, don't argue. Just run. Just run, kids.
Yeah, shiv. Anyway, that's it for binge or cringe. There's lots to entertain you with. And I'm sure you'll be disappointed with some of them. And then we can complain about it mightily with our first world problems.
That's
what we do. So thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.